What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Off the ball, breakfast.
Fairly extraordinary feeling. Just stood up and I just stood there in silence for a couple of minutes. I actually could not believe what I just seen. It was absolutely remarkable.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
So it is All-Ireland Ladies Football Final Day this Sunday at Croke Park with a triple header headlined by Galway and Kerry in the All-Ireland Senior Final. That one will throw in at 4:15 at Croke Park. Before that, it's Leitrim against Tyrone in the intermediate final at 1:45, and starting the day bright and early at 11:45 is the All-Ireland Junior Final between Fermanagh and Louth. We will have full coverage throughout Sunday's Off the Ball from 1 o'clock. Aisling O'Reilly, Tommy Rooney and Kira Trant are going to be bringing us updates throughout the afternoon. It is a very novel pairing in that senior final between Galway and Kerry. And to build up to the game, delighted to be joined by four-time All-Ireland winner Cora Staunton. How are you keeping, Cora?
Hi, Nathan. How are you? I'm good.
A lot of similarities in a way to last weekend with this pairing. Obviously Galway been back again 1 week on after the disappointment of last week. Galway haven't won an All-Ireland title since 2004, which was their only success. And while Kerry have won 11 titles, they had that famous 9 in a row. You have to go a long, long way back. 1993, incredibly, the last time Kerry won the All-Ireland final. I heard some of the Armagh players saying during the week that once Dublin were knocked out, they sort of felt like, OK, this has opened up quite nicely. Would that have been the same sense when Dublin were knocked out on the ladies' side of things?
Yeah, I definitely think it was the same since in terms of that, I suppose once Dublin are gone, you know, they've been kind of the powerhouse over the last kind of number of years. So, yeah, and Galway beating them, I think that was a real shock in the championship. So, yeah, it's certainly wide open. And then obviously, you know, Kerry being in All-Ireland, you know, this is their third year in a row, but they haven't won a title in 31 years, Galway in 20 years. So, yeah, kind of taking on the same kind of life of the men's game in terms of, we're going to have a new winner, and it's going to be a long time since they've won one. So, yeah, it's bound to be a cracking final. A lot of hurt from Kerry for the last two previous finals and not performing in them. So, yeah, and then Galway kind of come in as underdogs after getting relegated from Division 1.
Yeah, talk about Galway and this turnaround in their season, because Kerry, having been in the final for the last 2 years, may well have expected to be back in this scenario once again. But Galway, relegated in the league, they'd lost 6 of 7 games. Maybe it was all part of the long game and that they were trying to peak a little bit later in the season, but it's a risky game if it is a long game, because the hit to confidence and not being able to get over the line in games during the league can often come back to haunt you during championship. What changed from league to championship?
It's very hard to know. I think, you know, if you look at their league matches, I think they were well in most of them. You know, it's not that they were taking hammers, they were probably just being unlucky in terms of losing by a point or two. The first league match against Mayo, they lost by a point, and that was kind of the trend throughout their league performance. I suppose you have to look at that Galway team. They probably lost a number of players in terms of players that stepped away for the year. I think there's maybe 7 or 8 gone off the panel. And then you also have to look at the Kilkerran Clonburn girls, who obviously won the Club All-Ireland last December, weren't there for most the majority of the league. So they were down a lot of players. So I don't think they were over-panicked by it. Add in Daniel Moynihan, a new manager in. Ideally, they didn't want to get relegated, but I don't think, you know, that was going to be the biggest thing for them if they did. They still were there or thereabouts in all their matches and knew that they had, you know, potentially, I think there's 6 Kilkerran Clonburn girls, you know, within that squad, probably 4 or 5 of them starting, and they're key figures. So, yeah, I think it was just a settling in period for them. I think they were always targeting the Connacht final, which, obviously is the big one for them. And they got over the line against Mayo and were good in that Connacht final. And then kind of, bar the blip against Cork in the group stages, have been on a roll since. So, yeah, it's a mixture of everything, but not that they've come out of nowhere, but yeah, their league form would have suggested championship should have been a little bit different. But, I think that's the beauty of the game. You know, your league form doesn't dictate like them in Armagh Division 2, you know, that type of thing.
They got their revenge against Cork in the All-Ireland semi-final after knocking Dublin out, being the team that beat Dublin in the All-Ireland quarter-final. What are the strengths for people who mightn't have seen this Galway team? What are the areas where they're particularly strong that they're able to go and beat at Dublin?
Yeah, I suppose there's a couple of different areas. You know, they've Galway have been always known for a very attacking style team, and they still are that. But I think where they've really improved over the last number of years is their defence. I think, you know, if you look, you know, right throughout the championship form, they've conceded very little. I think, you know, I was doing a little bit of research during the week. I think they're about, you know, conceding about 12 points on average a game, which is very good for a defence. And, you know, that's kind of Nicola Ward leading there, but she's also leading the attack bill with, you know, playing centre-back. Charlotte Cooney, kind of Sarah Lynch, Kate Geraghty, players like that. So I think that's probably where they've done really well. You know, they're not scoring high amounts either. They're only scoring on average 14 or 15 points, but they've done very well in regards to that, you know, and they've come up in some quality, obviously, in Mayo in the Connacht final, Dublin, Cork. You know, so they've a good balance. I think, obviously, their Kilcrown club players, as I said, the two Ward sisters, Nicola Louise and Olivia Dibley, are their key players, and then Roisin Leonard, obviously, who's kind of had, you know, probably a dip in the last few years, but she's really came to the fore, particularly in the Dublin game where she scored two cracking goals and again was very instrumental in their winning performance against Cork. So, yeah, they've stars right throughout the place. As I said, they've a lot of experience. 7 or 8 of them girls were in the All-Ireland when Dublin last got there in 2019.
Alva Davran, hugely important player. Like Sean Kelly last week, a Moy Cullen native. So two Moy Cullen natives, captains of All-Ireland, seeking teams in back-to-back weeks. She's been playing her club football in Dublin, though.
Yeah, so she was playing with Kilmacud, and she would have come up against Kilcrown and Clonburn last year in the All-Ireland club semi-finals. So she'd come up against, you know, all her intra-county teammates. But yeah, she's been a revelation as well. She's been really good in that midfield. Herself and Ray Glynn has been excellent. You know, she had a really good performance in the semi-final and quarter-final, so she's going to be crucial. But you know, they've stars right throughout their field. You know, they do have a lot of pace. I think, you know, if Kerry were to look at where their strengths were, you know, I'd be looking at Nicola Ward, probably their key player from centre back, their midfield pair, and as I already mentioned, and probably Roisin Leonard, if you can kind of shut down them and add Olivia Dibley into that. Their kind of goal was 5 key players that Kerry will certainly have to target.
Like Roisin Leonard has had a sensational couple of games, such an important player in the quarterfinal against Dublin and in the semi-final against Cork. When Kerry have been sitting down to plan for this game, have they got somebody to mark Roisin Leonard?
Yeah, I think they do. But Roisin is the type of player, I suppose now she's getting on a little bit of age, she's been playing a long time for Galway. She's the type of player that's, you know, not the quickest in the world, but, you know, it's very, very clever. And makes very clever runs, gets into really good positions. So, yeah, I suppose Kerry will be looking to a number of players. Kayleigh Cronin is her full-back. She's a very strong, powerful defender. So someone like her could possibly match up with her. They'll try and get Roisin away from the edge of the square. That's where she's most dangerous. They'll probably want to, you know, get the likes of Kayleigh Cronin, you know, attack and running up the field and hope Roisin will follow her. You know, Galway will need her around the square because she's been their key. The key scorer along with Olivia Dibley. So yeah, as I said, she has, you know, the last few years she probably hasn't performed to the ability, you know, that she can. And this year she's been sensational. You know, maybe it's new management under Daniel Moynihan, but she seems like she's full of confidence. But yeah, that Kerry defence is quite good, and I could see her matching up with Kayleigh Cronin.
Kerry's third final in a row, and, you know, well beaten by Dublin and Meath over the last couple of years. The one big change, I guess, from 12 months ago is that Sheafra O'Shea is fully fit this time round. You know all about it, what she was trying to do last year and going out and playing in a final after what, suffering an ACL, was it 2-3 weeks yeah, beforehand? And she wanted to take the risk, but how big a difference does it make for Kerry actually having her back and a full, proper preparation ahead of an All-Ireland final?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, we still have to think, I think she's, you know, in the semi-final, she was only 10 months post her, you know, our operation, which in ACL terms, is quite early, especially for a second one. So, yeah, she's been very good since she's come back. These extra weeks of training, you know, even since the semi-final, will build her confidence, her performance in the semi-final. I think she's particularly needed because, you know, Kerry have been very over-reliant on Louise Niemeyer Hartwig over the last number of years, you know, right throughout their championship campaign. And Louise has probably suffered a little bit of dip of form in this season. You know, whether it's through injury or not, she, you know, she's been, hasn't been starting, has been coming on, and just hasn't been racking up the scores that we usually associate with her. So, yeah, certainly they need Sheep for a back, you know, because of her scoring prowess up there. You know, the Kerry half-forward line for me is the one that Galway would really have to target. That's where, you know, they have a lot of stars there. Captain Niamh Carmody, Niamh Ní Cunnara, Hannah O'Donoghue. And that's the real line that I think that, you know, that when the battle is there, that's where it's going to be won and lost. So, you know, Kerry have six forwards, you know, on their day can score. But I don't think they've been playing as well as they were previous to the All-Ireland final last year and even the year before. You know, they drew with Donegal in the group stages. They just about got over the line against Armagh. I suppose when Armagh tested them earlier on, you know, they went 5 points to one down. I fear for them if Galway go at them early, but their mental resilience is like, you know, two All-Ireland defeats and two poor performances in All-Ireland final. So, you know, I suppose if I was Daniel Moynihan and the Galway management team, you'd try to go at Kerry early and see what their mental resilience, because it's very difficult, you know, to lose two All-Irelands, never mind being a third one, and be well down. So I think it's going to be a cracker in terms of that. There's going to be no fear in that Galway team. And, you know, Kerry are, you know, really dying to get over the line. You know, they've kind of a lot of older players that have kind of said that if this isn't their year, they're probably going to step away. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Kerry, probably not so much on Galway.
I guess you can look at Louise Niemeyer Hartwig's form in two ways. One is, you know, want your star player scoring and being at the peak of her powers and, you know, well capable of scoring 12 points a game. But the fact she hasn't been doing that consistently, but they're still in an All-Ireland final, means other players have had to step up. Does that give them a bit more depth? That whereas I think 12 months ago when we spoke about Kerry in this conversation, it was all about, you know, how do you stop Louise Niemeyer Hartwig? And if you stop her, you stop Kerry. Whereas maybe there's a bit more to this forward line now.
Yeah, I think there is. You know, you probably have majority of the same forward line that's been there, maybe minus one or two. I think you can look at it two ways. I think you can look at it the way that, you know, going into an All-Ireland final and kind of being a bit underdone or undercooked. You know, you can look at Galway Mins last week in terms of Damien Comer and Shane Walsh, and, you know, that can backfire, but also that you can kind of go under the radar and performances haven't been as good as they were. And, you know, maybe Galway don't put as much time and effort into you. So, you know, you have a brilliant performance. You know, Louise is a very proud player. She's been around a long time. And, you know, we talk about players, you know, really good stars wanting to win in All-Ireland. And she's certainly one that deserves to win one. But I suppose, like anything in life, you know, if you deserve something, you don't always get it. So it'll be an interesting battle to see who they put on her. Do they put, you know, the bigger defenders, you know, on the likes of Sheffield O'Shea. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works out, you know, over kind of 60 minutes.
The position that Louise Niemeyer Hartwig is in is one that you've probably found yourself in many, many times throughout the years, where so much of the expectation rests on one player's shoulders. And, you know, when you look back over the last 6 or 7 years, it's probably you have to go back to sort of 2017 and Mayo's last appearance in the final, where it all felt like it came down to you on the day. How the hell do you deal with that?
I think you just have to, I suppose Louise is around a long time and you deal with it yourself. You're probably used to, right throughout your career, just used to pressure being put on your shoulders, and you just have to try and in some way not let it overthink or overpower you, and realise that there's equality forwards around her, and it might be that she'll do all the scoring the next day, but if she's, you know, dragging two or three defenders away from goal or, you know, creating opportunities for her teammates, you know, that could be just as good. So, yeah, I think she's old enough, you know, to know exactly where she's at. As I said, she might have the game of her life, but there's plenty of Kerry forwards there. As I said, I mentioned the Kerry half-forward line. You know, they've been the real leaders for this Kerry team this year. So I think she'll be fine. You know, I suppose my biggest thing for me when I always, you know, went into big games, if I prepared well and if I was training well and I knew I'd done everything, I was fine. Again, I don't know, you know, Louise's, you know, where she's been at this year in terms of injury. I know she's kind of been in and out of the team. Is that just because of loss of form or injury? But, you know, normally on the big stage, the big players come to play, and, you know, hopefully she does.
And when you were playing every opposition team, so much of their plan would have been, how do you stop Cora? Would you, and looking at, say, again, Louise and Moherty going into this weekend, would you have found, as you got older and more experienced, that you would have been able to realise very early in the game as to what their plan was to stop you and what opportunities that may present your teammates?
Yeah, I think as you got older, probably in your early days, you probably weren't as wise to it. And you'd hope that management were more wise to it than you were. But certainly as you got older, you do certain things in the game where, you know, if you were normally had a sweeper playing in front of you or you'd been double marked, you'd normally try and get out of traffic and go away from the ball and drag them out. That would also create opportunity for your teammates, but also that if a couple of scores were got in, you know, their defenders are left wondering, should I stay with me or should I go back in and cover in front of the space? So yeah, you have to do things like that. And I'm sure Louise herself, along with Dara Long and Declan Quill, have come up with different things for that, because, you know, if she can drag a couple of Bowa defenders away because they're afraid of what she'll do, or, you know, if she starts well very early and gets a couple of scores to settle them and settle herself, then go with defenders are left thinking. So, yeah, it's crucial. I suppose you learn as you go. And if she's being double-teamed and things aren't going well for the next day, I'm sure she'll be bringing the ball with defence, you know, outside the 45 and showing them a big crow back.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
In terms of what's coming into the squad over the last 12 months and into the team, the likes of Mary O'Connell, Aoife Delan, what have they brought? What's different to this team from 12 months ago?
Yeah, I think there's obviously a little bit different. They still probably have the bones of the team. I think, you know, when you have new players coming in, I think it's just that kind of little bit of energy and an enthusiasm and I suppose more competitiveness in the squad to fight for your squad. You know, it's not guaranteed who will start. And when you see the quality of, you know, Lorraine Scanlon, you know, who hasn't been able to break into the team but has been an impact sub for Kerry over the last few matches, you know, that's what it's all about. And I suppose the big thing for Kerry is Coach Lynch hasn't played. Whether she's going to be thereabouts to play or even make an impact, she's a huge player for them. So, yeah, I think when you bring youth in, it's energy and it pushes, especially the girls that have been there for a long time on and try and get another couple of percent out herself. And then they just don't have the baggage of all Ireland final days. You know, you see players that are quite young and, you know, All-Ireland final day never phases them, where if you've played in a few of them and you know what you're about, you probably get a bit nervous. And, you know, you go back to the men's game the last day, Oisin Conaté, you know, young and free, and, you know, his performance was massive. So you'd hope that's, you know, going to happen to one of the Galway or Kerry players, that they don't have that added baggage of losing All-Ireland playing in big games. Just go out and see or play what's ahead of them.
So is your feeling then that the opportunity for Galway is in that opening stage of the game, particularly when you look at the amount of goals they've been scoring lately? They got a couple against Cork, they got three of them against Dublin. I don't know how much you read into the Laois game where they score seven, but obviously it helps the confidence levels as well, that you just want to put as much doubt in the Kerry players' minds as possible.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, like, if you look Galway, you know, take the Laois game aside, because that was just, you know, a game that really didn't mean too much. They score goals in every game. Connacht final, their group game against Cork, and then obviously in the quarterfinal and semi-final. So, you know, they are probably going to need a goal or two to win it. But if you look on the other side, Kerry probably haven't been scoring as freely as they have. You know, they've only scored 9 points against Donegal, and while they scored 16 against Meath, didn't break for a goal. So, certainly, if I was the Galway manager, I'd be going after Kerry very early days. We've seen against Dublin last year. You know, you hate to say it, but after probably 15 minutes, the game was done, they crumbled, and they had no answer. And our Dublin superb last year, everything Hannah Terrell got, she finished. So if that happens again, and you're in a mindset of this is second year in a row, it's very, very difficult to come out of that. You need massive leaders to try and, you know, get you over the line. So, yeah, I think they have to attack them. And they have pace. That's the thing. Croke Park is a big pitch. You know, they have pace, as I said, in terms of Charlotte Cooney, Nicola Ward, Louise Ward, Olivia Dively, Niamh Dively. They have a lot of pace there in their back line that aren't afraid to go and attack them. So, yeah, I think it's a worry. I think our Kerry will certainly want to contain the early days and not have a start where they're down 6 or 7 points. You go back to the Armagh game after 10, 12 minutes, they were 5 points to one down. So I think it would worry the Kerry management. And as I said, that's what the Galway management will be going after. They want to be right in the game, you know, coming as far down the stretch as they can, because psychologically, two All-Ireland defeats has to start playing on your mind.
What's your prediction then?
That's a very good one. I think it'll be very, very close. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw. But I suppose if you're back, and you probably just have to give it to Kerry just on their experience. As I said, there's 7 or 8 of that Galway team that played in the All-Ireland in 2019. All of that Kerry team, majority of them have been involved in the last couple of All-Irelands. I think in terms of Kerry, I think it's one, they're selling it as one last kind of big push, because I do think a number of girls had probably decided last year they were going to retire. They gave it one more year because both Dara and Declan come back. I think they probably know this is their last chance for this group. That's not to say down the line they won't win one again, but for this group in particular, that to get over the line, this is their chance to win the All-Ireland. So I'm probably just giving it to Kerry by one, but wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw at all.
We take that sort of game. It is the final game of the triple header, and it's always just such a brilliant day at Croke Park. Very briefly on the intermediate and junior finals, so it's Leitrim Tyrone in the intermediate final, Fermanagh Louth in the junior final. Anything we should be looking out for?
No, I think it's, they're two obviously great games in the intermediate final. The last few intermediate finals have been excellent. Last year's one was superb. If I was to pick two winners, I suppose I think, in the intermediate, I think Tyrone will just have too much. Tyrone realistically have been up and down from intermediate to senior the last number of years. I think they're the team that, should win it. I know Clare would be very disappointed that they were in the All-Ireland last year, didn't get to All-Ireland final stage. So, at the start of the year, Clare, Tyrone would be favourites. So I can't see Tyrone beaten. And I think in junior final, I think it's going to be a cracker as well. It's probably a very hard one to call. In terms of, I'm not too sure who'll go. I wouldn't be surprised again if that's going to be a draw. Two form teams as well coming in.
It is going to be something of a landmark day as well. The 50th anniversary celebrations are going to be going on throughout the day. You'll be a part of them, I'm sure.
It's obviously a great day for ladies football in terms of 50 years. And I suppose where the games came, I suppose from my time in playing it, it's 25 years since our Mayo team won the first All-Ireland. So
Jesus.
In terms of that, it's probably, monumental, but also, my time involved in ladies football, which is probably 30 plus years, to see where it's came from. In my first All-Ireland 25 years ago, where it was 15,000 at the game, and I suppose my last one in 2017 was 50,000 games going since then, so... Yeah, it'll be just a nice occasion to celebrate, I suppose, what's happened over the last 50 years and see where ladies football has came, but also see where, women's sports came in that time. So, yeah, hopefully, the biggest thing is that we'll have, cracking games. There won't be one side, that'll be exciting, and teams will go out and perform to the best of their ability.
25 years. I remember you arriving back into Ballyhaunas the night afterwards. It was a... It was only a young lad. We were all a little bit younger, I think it's fair to say, but it was a heck of a night.
Yeah, I think we arrived into Ballyhaunas. We'd probably done every major town and county at that stage. I think we arrived into Ballyhaunas around 4 o'clock that morning. So, yeah, still remember it. It feels like yesterday, but yeah, good time. So, as I said, a bit like Galway Kerry, it'll be 20 years or 31 years, and they'll have the same feelings and memories 20 or 25 years later.
Yeah, listen, enjoy Sunday, Cora. Great stuff.
No problem, Nathan. Take care.